St. Germain! You think March 30th, 2008 was the last day that Ric Flair was capable of dying? No! Thank God! Retired, it's you and me! Woo! 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 Recognize this? Yeah! Huh? Woo! 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 Hogan! Hogan!
Your weekly dose of wrestling news and commentary.
Wait a second. Wait, yes. Wait. You let me talk at the beginning. What happened?
I let you talk sometimes. What?
No. Before you start the show.
Okay.
I'm a heel.
Before you start the show. Okay.
You explain to me.
Okay.
You defend David Lee Roth singing on that live album that just came out 2 years ago.
I can't defend it. There's nothing to defend. It's horrific. It's not good.
Okay. All right. Fine.
It's not good.
I agree. Okay, that's all.
Okay,
I wanted
good.
To ask.
You see,
that's all I wanted to ask you.
Occasionally, Stephen and I will agree. That happens maybe about 75% of the time. Sometimes we will agree. Sometimes we'll agree to disagree. We're going to find out because we're going to talk about Survivor Series. We're going to talk about the aftermath of that. We're also going to talk about the upcoming pay-per-view. Can you believe it? We've got another pay-per-view, TLC.
Oh, it's so exciting.
On the WWE Network. Happy holidays to you all. I hope you had a great Turkey Day. Stephen, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, you know, Terry bowled one of her highest games ever, and we've made a
what
lot of.
Bowl?
Well, she bowled a 93.
And oh, that's...
She usually bowls like in the 30s, and we made a drastic change in style. She's been watching some Nelson Burton Jr. training videos from the 80s, and she's got a lot better. Everything I just said is totally true. That's what's crazy.
You know, the most fun things I can remember growing up was watching the professional bowler tour on Saturdays, Wide Wide World of Sports on ABC, and seeing bowling. I thought it was the coolest sport ever. It's still very cool to me. I can't bowl worth a crap. I'll be lucky if I break 100 during a game because I have very bad form. You're telling me that my form, how I can improve my form, but I'm just telling you, I'm just not a very good when it comes to the form. Yeah.
Well, I improved her average 60 pins in a mere couple of weeks, and I can do it for everyone else out there because I'm a bowling teacher.
He's a bowling teacher. What do you usually bowl, Stephen?
I can generally bowl a 200. Mm-hmm. And if I bowl three games, one of them will be 200. I can do that with a house ball, so I think I'm pretty good.
So you've got your own customized ball then?
Not right now. I'm getting back into it. I used to do this when I was young and I was very good.
Oh.
And I got out of it, but I rolled a couple of 200s and I said, hey, I'm good. Let's get into the league.
I hope that everyone's paying attention out there because this show has gone totally from wrestling to Kingpin and it's fascinating. One of my favorite movies though,
I think that Bill Murray's heel character in Kingpin is based off of Marshall Holman. I've always thought that
the pro bowler
Marshall Holman is one of the most entertaining anything I've ever seen. You know, if you were a wrestler, he would be such a precise and psychologically twisted heel that you couldn't even really, it would be above the audience's head, really.
You know, do you realize that Chris Jericho's character is very, very much like Bill Murray's character in Kingpin?
I never thought of that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. There hasn't, you know, okay, so we're going down this rabbit hole, but you know, there's a lot that can be said about taking ideas from films and making it into a wrestling character, which I believe Chris Jericho does very well. He always takes it from films, but I digress. It is the holidays and we are recording this on Cyber Monday, and we do appreciate you supporting our website, ProWrestlingCast.com, by buying your stuff from our Amazon link. It's all right there, ProWrestlingCast.com. Amazon's got great deals. You want to get the brand new Amazon Echo, the Dot, the Amazon Tap, just, you know, great Bluetooth speakers and devices that go great for a wired home, or if you're getting ready to get your home all networked up. It's a great assistant for that. I've got one on order and I cannot wait to use it. Amazon and shop with Amazon. Every time you do that shopping with our Amazon link, Amazon gives us a little bit of commission on that. It doesn't cost you any more. It just means that Amazon appreciates us promoting Amazon on Pro Wrestling Cast. You also have all of our great archive of shows. You've got links for your next Magical Journeys vacation with Kristen, my wife. She will hook you up. If you're looking to go to plan your Disney trip with your family or go to Universal or do any type of cruise line. And last but not least, we've got links for WWE Shop. Take advantage of holiday sales, WWE Networks. You can see every pay-per-view for $9.99 a month. That pretty much happens, what, twice a month nowadays?
I can't keep up with it. I mean, at least I can watch like Uncensored from 2000, but I don't know about TLC.
We're going to talk about Uncensored. We also have links to High Spots in there, and we also have pro wrestling tees and so many other things. So, do all your shopping for your wrestling fans out there. They are at prowrestlingcast.com. And now, on with the show.
Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Yeah, because when he sings like Jump, it should be easy for him to sing Jump. That should be simple.
You think it's not in a very bad key. I mean, for him, a C, you know, a very low key for David Lee Roth, he could do it. It's not like Sammy Hagar where they had to transpose Jump to the D, you know, to a D chord, you know.
All I know is Iron Maiden was willing to cover Montrose songs, so I think that means that technically Sammy Hagar is better than Roth, but when I see the live stuff, I want Roth. But not the new stuff. It's hard for me. Roth, the first 7 or 8 years, can't beat it though.
That's no. Roth is great. You know, and you know me, I'm a huge Van Halen fan. And I guess that means, you know, we're playing some Van Halen in the underbelly of this podcast again. What's your favorite classic Van Halen song?
My favorite Van Halen album. Okay. My favorite stretches of albums, because I'm a weird guy and I talk weird, is basically the second through fifth track of Women and Children First is outstanding. Yeah. Loss of Control's in there. Fools is a tremendous underrated song. Of course, Romeo's Delight, Everybody Wants Some. And then all of Fair Warning, which is just fantastic.
Oh, this is great. It's the dark Van Halen. It's great.
I mean, but if I had to pick a song, I guess Dreams.
No. Really?
No,
I didn't figure you for. Well, I mean that's cool. No, I mean, no, it's a pop song. It's a good song.
When I was young, I did love that one. I mean, it's obviously a good song. I like the song 5150 that we played on the show a couple of weeks ago.
You like that?
That's probably my favorite Hagar song. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great Hagar album that they just came out of the gate. Just you know, different band, but you know, I'm a big fan of Unchained. That's just such a great guitar riff.
That's a great track.
But I think if I could look at all the different Van Halen, you know, put together, I think the first Van Halen record, I think just does it for me. Just everything about it. And I think, Janie's Crying is like still one of my favorite, you know, favorite
records. Okay. The best song is On Fire from, which is right on that album, right in the middle. Like that's killer.
Or Atomic Punk.
Atomic Punk too. Either one.
just so good. Anyway, bet you didn't know we were going to be talking about Van Halen at the very beginning of this podcast. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast. I'm your lifelong wrestling fan, broadcaster Al John Go, joined by my esteemed cohort, the man with many names, cassette tapes, Dr. Cassette Tapes, Cassette Tapes ST, Stephen Anthony. Yes.
And the cassettes tape, the cassette tapes project has come along a long way. There have been a lot of really interesting things that are happening with that.
Can I add percussion to that track?
I was going to ask you to play on it. I haven't had the chance to, and I actually wanted you to introduce the album, which you would be on the first track and you go, okay, and here's Steven's new album. It's called Cassette Tapes. That would actually be the first.
I'd have the DJ voice on and be like,
you would literally be a DJ announcing the beginning of an album. I don't think I've ever heard that, right?
That'd be great.
That would be awesome.
Isn't that great? And I did want to point out, there will be a lot of death metal singing on it.
Oh, that's good.
I've decided to go back to the more hardcore Thomas Lindberg style of vocal. I hope everyone's excited to hear that.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear it. I love it. Because Steven's got blistering riffs. You know, he doesn't have guitars in the background, but let me tell you what, Steven is one accomplished guitarist.
I can play a little bit, but I like to be an asshole instead.
Well, let's talk about assholes. We're going to talk about Hulk Hogan coming up.
Yeah, here you go. One of the top podcast. Assholes.
We talk about the promo of the week. And
Boy.
The first thing that I came upon was, let's talk about the Yappapai strap match from Uncensored 2000, which... You got like on the nose. He's like, did that happen in March of 2000? And I said, yeah. And I looked it up just to be sure. And lo and behold, man, you are encyclopedic in terms of your knowledge. That's why you are the wrestling historian.
Well, that one's just hard to forget. That was, that's that weird period of time where Russo and Ferrara were out of the picture all of a sudden. And then Sullivan had his weird booking thing going on. And then that's when Benoit and Malenko and Guerrero left, and then Sid got the belt, which is always a tough time. Mm-hmm. So that was a really, you know, there was a lot of news going on then, but the show was terrible.
Well, if this gives you any idea, the NWO was a shell of its former selves. You had Hulk was already out of the NWO. He went back to Red and Gold, and then Jeff Jarrett came in and added his effervescence to the shell of the NWO, and they were also courting Bret Hart.
Well, Bret had to leave because of the concussions at that point. That had just happened in February. So I think it was Steiner, Jarrett, Bret Hart, Kevin Nash, and maybe Hall.
Yeah, Hall
looked good on paper, and then Bret was gone. And once Bret was gone, you know, I thought that was a good
entire, that screwed up the entire plan for 2000 WCW right there.
And they were screwed again. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's 2000 WCW for you.
So we're going to talk about the Yappapai Indian strap match. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But it is a very, very famous promo from the Hulkster. So we're going to hear from him. We also have some reviews. We're going to talk about, Survivor Series because we hadn't talked about it yet. And, also the matches planned for TLC coming up this Sunday. We've got some independent wrestling news and more, but let's not waste any more time. Let's get into
Pro Wrestling Cast this week in wrestling news.
The headlines for today, Steven.
Yes.
Shall we first just go ahead and talk about the pink elephant in the room, which is Survivor Series? Shall we do that?
Well, you know, I think we should.
We did such a great job of covering NXT, which, you know, even after now watching Survivor Series back, I have a whole new take on it. Believe it or not, Stephen, I have a whole new take on Survivor Series that may or may not blow your mind. It probably won't. But I'm looking at Survivor Series in a whole new light. But I can tell you this, that I still really enjoyed NXT better than Survivor Series.
That's really not the most shocking thing I've heard. I didn't enjoy the first 2 or 3 hours of Survivor Series, really.
It was a very difficult thing to watch and get through because it was long.
Well, you know, I really
truth be told, I didn't even watch the pre-show because there was just too much damn wrestling. And I can't believe I'm saying this. There was just too much damn wrestling.
And there's too much good wrestling going on everywhere else. Outside too.
The Fed, yeah. Yeah.
I really was. Well, do you want to run down the?
We can run down some of this.
Can we run down the uncensored 2000 card too?
I can do that if you'd like.
you can do one match from each at a time and see if which one's better.
Sure. Why the hell not? Why the hell not?
Okay.
So here we are. I guess, you know, just long short of it. Okay, and we'll just go ahead and go with the short of it. Mm-hmm. TJ Perkins, Rich Swann, Noam Dar defeat Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Arya Daivari.
Why did they hire Daivari? Can someone explain?
Well, I mean, it's his younger brother, and he can work. He's great heel for the cruiserweight division.
Well, you might as well just hire the other Daivari.
I know.
He's already experienced and he wrestles.
He still does indies, doesn't he?
No, he's on Lucha Underground. I've seen him on there.
Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus. Kane defeating Luke Harper. And once again, those are, I think, the warm up matches for the pre show.
Why job people to Kane? What?
I don't get it.
What?
Traditional 5-on-5 Raw women's match. Happened. Team Raw defeating Team SmackDown Live in basically interesting fashion. It got down to the nitty gritty. Women, you know, I'm trying to think of Nia Jax being very dominant in the match, throwing out everybody. Came down to the wire. You had Charlotte and Bayley on Raw teaming up against Miss Fiery Pants herself, and.
Yeah, old fire pan.
Poor Becky Lynch. She got ganged up on. Bailey goes for the pin, wins it for Raw, and then Charlotte basically turns on her. It's not really a turn because she's already a bad guy, but basically beats the crap out of Bailey outside the ring. That leads me to say my whole revelation is basically that Survivor Series is for me. Like Battle of the Network Stars. I don't know if you remember this TV show or not, but it went on and off from the 70s into the 80s, and this could never happen now, really. They tried bringing it back, but it's not the same, but you'd have ABC, NBC, and CBS, the stars from those different TV shows battle each other in like obstacle courses and like different sports and stuff. And, Olympic type sports in front of like a live crowd, and everybody would yell for their favorites, right? And, their favorite shows. So like the cast of Cheers would go against the cast of, you know, of whatever else, you know, Three's Company or something like that.
Or they would go against the cast of Night Court. Is that possible?
Something like that. Exactly. So you'd have, you know, Happy Days would go up against, you know, like Magnum PI or something like that, right? So they do that. And this is kind of what they're doing. And for me, this show sets up more feuds than anything else for Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, you know, I just don't have any really good strong feeling about Raw versus SmackDown already. Right. It's a little early, and you know, I do like the idea of Magnum PI getting pushed, but you know, or Magnum TA. I'll tell you, and I'm going to say this in the show so we can remember this. Mr. Wrestling 2 has to be one of our promos of the week at some point. I'm just saying that to remember it. It's an odd way to remember something, but
maybe
he may be the best heel I've ever seen.
We usually talk about who we're going to be doing the next promo of the week in the show, and then next week we'll end up doing it. So
the match kind of sucked for me because I had high expectations. And this is one time where they, you know, it just didn't gel for me. I thought they had enough, what did I say, 6 good workers out of 10, that's bound to work. But they're just weird. Now, I don't like people taking a bunch of pinfalls. I mean, pinfalls should be special. Like, you know, kissing a girl for the first time or pinning the Mulkey brothers.
I agree.
I agree. And that's what's wrong.
Well, Nia did look dominant, but it was one of the things where you don't, you know, it's hard when you have conventional wrestling wisdom and thought, it's hard to protect your superstars when, you know, the audience can remember these things, and yet you automatically think the audience will not remember them, or you have selective memory of who gets the pinfall.
And, well, I mean, it's on, that's what people see the most of, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's memorable is when they, I guess, you know, Sasha against Charlotte on Raw, when Sasha won the belt, was very memorable, and a lot more, maybe more people saw it, but
mm-hmm.
when you have 18 pins in one match, and, you know, I think that, you know, we'll talk about a match later, the Raw SmackDown, what was it, 10-man match, you know, they gave it 52 minutes. Now, when you give a match 52 minutes, you get a little, I thought that match worked, we'll talk about it. You give it a little bit more room to breathe, and I don't know, if you want to look at, go look at Survivor Series 1990, even with the poor workers on the roster, it's still, you know, pretty entertaining. So,
yeah, right. Intercontinental Championship, interesting. Miz defeats Sami Zayn. Intercontinental Championship still remains on SmackDown Live. And I thought this was a good match overall. I mean, I know that they can go. I think this is shaping up to be the best year for Miz ever, you know.
Oh, God, it has to be. Even when he won the world championship and went to WrestleMania, you know, it's better than that,
yeah.
You know, because it's quality over whatever. I mean, his quality of work has been spectacular.
He's like John Cena. Don't you agree? It's like John Cena, to a degree, is only as good as his opponents. And when his opponents push him, he gets better and better. Did we not say last year? During our end of the year show, and by the way, we're nearing the end of this year, and Steven and I have our end year of end show coming with our awards, the Pro Wrestling Cast Awards. But I have to tell you, this year might very well belong to Miz. He's had a great, great run thus far. It's been very entertaining and good to watch in terms of wrestling. So
it's possible that Mara Fuji will win every award this year.
It is possible.
It's possible for me after I saw his violence.
Right. Oh, very violent it is.
Yeah.
The tag team match. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. The Miz.
The Miz. John, we're talking about the Miz and Sami Zayn.
It's funny about John Cena, you know, having such a great year last year and all that. You know, he knew he was itching towards, you know, think how much he's wrestled since he left late. Remember when he jobbed to Del Rio a year ago? Think how much you've seen him wrestle since then. And think about all those great Kevin Owens matches, and he did the Seth Rollins matches and all the stuff, and he did the job to Lesnar. He kind of saw this coming. It's calculated that he was going to be ushered out. So bravo for him for putting on some great matches at the end. But now the Miz is in that zone. That's a great point. It's very similar.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Team Raw defeating Team SmackDown Live in the 10-on-10 amazingly crazy ass tag match. Sheamus and Cesaro brought home a huge victory for Team Raw, outlasting five of SmackDown's elite tandems, emerging as the sole survivors
right.
of this particular match. You know, just a cluster, you know, as one would expect. Yeah. There were some high moments, with Sheamus and Cesaro both. You know, and the craziness continues. I mean, when are they gonna, you know, American Alpha had some high spots, Usos had some high spots. It was passable, right? Just your average match.
I wasn't digging it too much. I don't like seeing people get pinned real quick like that. I think it's stupid. New Day got pinned real quick and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I don't know. What they should have New Day do is just wear demolition masks the night they break the record and come out dressed as demolition and then give someone a concussion.
The reason why it sounds like we're glossing over these matches is because we are. The WWE Cruiserweight.
They weren't good enough. I'm not talking about a star and a half match forever.
Well, I did like this. The Cruiserweight match, Brian Kendrick defeating Kalisto. We saw Brian Kendrick defend the title against Kalisto. Brian Kendrick retains.
I just
not going to Tuesday. Everybody thought, it's moving. They have a 205 live recording on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's probably a sure bet that this is going to happen. And lo and behold, it's not.
I would be remiss if I didn't backtrack briefly and say that this match had a bad ending, and then also the Miz match had a terrible ending of, you know, the ringing the bell thing. I'm so tired of that crap. Maybe I'm watching too much good Japanese and American independent wrestling and CMLL, but I'm really getting sick and tired of some of these dumb finishes. Like, she rang the bell. Oh, I'm a fool. Stop making people look like they're dumb. You do it to Zane all the time. You do it to Perkins, you do it to Bailey's a fool. Oh, Charlotte turned on me. I thought she was my friend. When did this person act like she was friendly for any extended period of time with any other human being? Her character is sociopathic nut, and she's Ric Flair's daughter, so her genes are naturally evil.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, and you're exactly right. I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, all the hard work and storytelling that they built up to simply have a bad ending is not befitting, folks.
No.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help. I almost think that they play a version of Wheel of Fortune or Raw Roulette, if you want to use wrestling terminology. So they have Eric Bischoff's Wheel of Fun that they spin. You know, it could be Coal Miner's Glove. It could be Schma's ending. It could be Clean ending. Could be a chair, whatever. And whenever they spin it, you know, at the production meeting and they take a piece off the board, you know, they just go, okay, well, the next ending is gonna happen this way. You know what I mean? Do you sometimes feel that way? That it's basically just, you know, it's gonna end like this. We need to have one schmoz of the night. We need to have one screw job of the night. We need to have one clean pinfall, if that, and we'll leave that for the pre-show because we don't really care about that.
I get the impression they're all follow, all these people are throwing out all these ideas. And it's screwing everything up. And actually, that's what happened to TNA. And that's what happened to WCW. WWE's logic reminds me. No, it's not that bad. In some ways, reminds me of WCW, like in 1998, maybe. No, it's not that bad. But I'm thinking about some stuff. I'm thinking about some stuff right now. But it's not working. He's lost it. Vince has lost his magic touch. Although he's had a couple of breakout moments, and I think everyone's trying to please him, and they don't know what to do. I don't exactly know what's going on at all.
I think there was some bad booking, probably one of the worst. And it's easy to pick on WCW, but it is true. You know, 2001 booking in WCW is probably infamous for being one of the worst times in their company's history in terms of booking.
Yeah, 99 as well. I mean, it was...
Yeah, 99, this is a bad stretch.
Well, you were talking about Starrcade 98. You book Bischoff to go over Ric Flair so they can have a rematch? I mean, what is that? That doesn't make sense. You have Goldberg lose to Nash with a taser.
With a taser.
That's bad. Yeah. That's bad.
It was a cattle prod.
Sorry. Jim, so sorry. Look, that's your two... Ric Flair had magnanimous heat, right?
Right.
Goldberg had all this heat. The place was sold out. And I know that some people were chanting boo, whatever. You don't make them both look like fools.
Yeah.
You're going to lose to a non-wrestler, and then this guy's going to lose to a cattle prod bump. I mean, that's bad. So, no, they're not that bad yet.
That's pretty bad. But they're not that bad yet. You're right.
Not yet.
Team SmackDown defeated Team Raw in a 5-on-5 traditional elimination match. Oh, my God. This match, I was like... looking at my clock going, isn't the pay-per-view supposed to end soon? Because they went, 55 minutes on this match?
Now, this match I did like.
I did like it, yeah. A lot of twists and turns.
You know, I liked it. I thought they worked pretty well together. I love most of the guys in the match. And, you know, well, what can you say about... Can't go wrong with who?
Oh, you can't go wrong with some of the people involved. I mean, let's look at it. You have Team Raw, Owens, Jericho, Rollins.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the good parts. They had Reigns in there too. And actually he did contribute, with that. And then Braun Strowman, believe it or not, actually contributing. And then you also had a very interesting Team SmackDown. Styles, Wyatt, Orton, Ambrose, McMahon. And can you believe it? Team SmackDown ekes out a victory. The sole survivors being Orton and Wyatt.
Strangely, like, Orton hanging out with Wyatt makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Orton seems like he would hang out with Wyatt. I don't know why, but...
Because they're supposed to be, like, crazy, maniacal, cold-hearted stuff.
One of them really is. I think that, you know, AJ, you could use him a little better than this, you know, but, Shane looked really wacky at some, you know, he needs the punching thing. Now, I would not suggest he get into a real fight. I would say that because he's going to get hurt with those punches.
Well, my understanding is that when he took that spear from Roman Reigns across the ring.
Oh, yeah.
He was getting ready to do the Van Damme-inator type move, the Shane McMahon type move.
Because he's caught in 1998 too.
Yeah, and that's good. It's good that he's doing that. But as he gets ready to do the Van Damme-inator type of drop kick from one ring post to the other end to Roman Reigns ends up spearing his ass.
Yeah.
Clear across the ring, and it looked like he just got knocked out. My understanding is that he just simply got the wind knocked out of him and that he got passed out or something like that.
Whatever happened, he kicked out, which is cute. You know, he kicked out at two, technically.
Yeah.
And then they just stopped it, so he didn't even get pinned. Now, if I were a damn fool, I would believe that. But see, I don't believe a bunch of stuff. I think he kicked out because they didn't want him to get pinned.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't buy it.
Which, by the way, you know, Shane McMahon the following night on SmackDown said, hey, props to Roman Reigns because he knocked me out of my shoes. Right. Talked about his Nikes once again. And, you know, we know that, but, Shane.
His shoes are always on point. Nobody's saying anything about it.
Hey, look, if anybody's on point in terms of style and fashion, Stephen Anthony for one, but the next guy in line would definitely be Shane McMahon.
The stuff he's wearing costs, you know, literally $10,000. Some of those, the stuff I cost might equal $1,000 if you added it all up at full retail value. Okay. It's really not much of a comparison.
Well, Shane McMahon is a very dapper man, but, that legit looked like it hurt. Like any normal man, you know, got that, they'd be down for the count. Shane McMahon, even with his Muay Thai training and martial arts training, he's still no ordinary man. He, the boy can go. He trains a lot.
I could choke him out. He'd go to sleep.
Shane's in very good shape.
I don't believe that. I think it's just some rich boy they may think and fight or something. I think that's what that is.
Oh, come on. Give him some credit.
I'll give him all kind of credit. He's a very cool guy. He's a businessman.
He works out. The man is good, got good conditioning for your average guy. He is not necessarily a professional wrestler, but he's been put in that situation.
All right. Have him fight somebody and I'll watch. I'd love to. rich dudes don't fight good. They think they do because they get weird, expensive training sessions. Not everybody knows.
Okay.
That. They got bodyguards and tape shirts and cattle prods to help them out.
How about this? The Shield reunites for one night only, at least for a brief bit. Three of them gang up on the man, the face that runs the place, AJ Styles. All three of them put him through Shield style.
That was cool.
The announce table at ringside. What bummed me out about this is once again, you know, Jericho going for the comedic moment in the match, being, you know, Kevin Owens, I guess, basically trying to save his friend Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho getting himself eliminated because he was worried about the list being strung out about the ring. All I have to say is, Jericho, you're a podcaster. Why don't you get an iPad and lock that some bitch up like most normal people who have notes and not use a notepad? Because that would be a great Christmas gift if Kevin Owens, by the way, would give Chris Jericho an iPad and have the digital list of Jericho. That would be the best thing ever, would it not?
I wrote on my Twitter, Chris Jericho pinned via loose leaf paper. Like, that's kind of what happened.
That is kind of what happened.
He had to get papers up and he got.
Maybe he needs to get a trapper keeper to keep all of his notes together.
That was honestly really funny. I mean, I think that was that pin. He's like, if you're going to pin me in a Survivor Series match, do it stupid. You know, don't do it quick. Don't do it, you know, don't do it with a atomic drop from Bob Orton Jr. Do like just a,
right.
You know, trapper keeper.
The worst move ever, by the way, is the reverse atomic drop. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's hot, but it's bad.
I think at the end of the day, this match did have a lot of things going for it. And there was a lot of physicality, a lot of twists and turns. And I did like this match overall.
It was very good and long, and I enjoyed it. And honestly, I was hating the pay-per-view. I was liking Miz Zayn until they ended it. I didn't like the women's match. I didn't like the tag match at all. Sorry. I didn't like Perkins and Kendrick. I didn't like that. I mean, Kendrick's not good enough for something. Well, the idea, I hate to go back to this, but to go to Kendrick and say, Kendrick, you know what to do. You've been here before to get over this idea, this cruiserweight. How does that help? And Kendrick's not what that cruiserweight thing's all about. Mm-hmm. Didn't I tell y'all they'd fail if Kota Ibushi wasn't involved? That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
The joke.
I think the other problem is the fact that they turn the keys over to Monday Night Raw and they don't know how to write.
You're right.
For cruiserweights. Well, they don't, never have, never will. And it's a shame because we really want to see, people like Tony Nese. We want to feel that someone like a Drew Gulak or somebody, I'm probably butchering their names, but,
That sounds good.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that those people are doing what they do, but no, instead they try to put as many of these people in to get them recognized on a weekly basis, and it just looks like just stupid. A bunch of crap.
They're not getting over because there's too many of them because they're trying to put them all in on a weekly basis to get them over. It's funny.
Yeah. Well, you do that on a week-to-week basis, and you don't make anybody look strong. You just have a bunch of no names out there doing flippy moves, and that's the entire point.
Well, back in the day, you'd have a six. You're a big Nitro guy.
Yes,
you worship 1998 and 97 like me.
Yes,
you'd have six man match, right? Like, but who would it be? Psicosis, Juventud Guerrero, Eddie Guerrero, Super Kahlo, Rey Mysterio Jr., and Conan, and LD. Yep. They're over.
They're over.
They're real good.
Yeah, they're real good. And you know what? If, they'd have a couple of cruiserweight matches on their card and they would know how to book it. Now, were they big on, exposition storylines? No, they put the guys over. The guys got over because of their wrestling prowess, because of their great moves.
They didn't have storylines. What about the Villanos?
Well, they had some
Villanos 4 and Villanos 5.
They had some things going on. Dean Malenko had some really interesting storylines happen. Chris Jericho had some interesting storylines.
Dino Machino, Stinko Malenko.
Teeny Deeny.
Remember when Jericho exactly. against Malenko might have been the best cruiserweight feud in my mind.
It was great because that's when the true list of Jericho actually happened was during that.
Dino Machino, you can't beat that with me. That's as good as it gets.
Oh man. Now I feel like going back and watching the Jericho DVD on the network or something.
Jericho 98. He's awesome. He's really good in 98, man. He's really good.
Right. So at the end of the day, Survivor Series can be summed up with a 90-second match. We waited and waited. Goldberg comes out. Roar of applause. Lesnar comes out. Roar of applause. The two meet, two spears, jackhammer, and it's over. I mean, wow. And then you automatically said, Aljon, are you watching this?
I literally shit in my pants. I'm like, what happened? What?
Right. And, I watched it and you told me that you looked like that guy, the guy in Shock and Awe during WrestleMania 30 when
I think his name's Elias.
Elias, right?
He's a East African guy. He's funny on Twitter, but.
Oh, he's the best. So you have that face. I mean.
The guy with the big eyes.
I cannot believe Undertaker got pinned by Brock Lesnar, right? He's wearing the white shirt and you look at him and he is like the meme forever. It's like Miz Girl and this guy Elias.
Well, I was surprised. I couldn't believe it, honestly. And, Terry's watching and she was cheering. She was so excited.
Oh, it's great.
That Goldberg had won quickly. And she said, the good guy won. Yay. This is great. So I think it was great booking because I was stunned.
Yeah. And convincing too. Lesnar sold the spears. First one shook it off, tried getting back a little woozy. Goldberg goes to the well one more time, knocks him out of his shoes. He had that surprised look. Heyman has a look of worry. Goldberg ready like a raging bull, gets him, and then jackhammers him to hell. 1, 2, 3, the crowd literally gasps. There is an audible gasp in the crowd. You and I, we didn't figure it out. Yeah, the good booking would say, okay, Brock Lesnar goes over clean, over the veteran, the guy that hasn't been in the ring for 12 years. He goes out there, does it for his son. And then the Lord knows the most unheard of moment in all wrestling history, Goldberg's son takes his shirt off in the ring and prances around with his dad in a victory lap. And wow, holy cow, craziness.
They did the first spear, and I thought, oh, that's weird. He didn't really have a lot of moves. And then he did another spear, and I went, wow, that's really funny to do two straight spears. Then he sets him up for the jackhammer, and I go, all right, that's really weird to do the jackhammer this early. Then he does the jackhammer. He did it pretty darn good. Then he pinned him, and I go, that's weird. He's pinning him like this is the pin. And then he counted to three, and I went, I don't know what just happened. What the hell was that? Man,
if you blinked, you may have missed it. If you went out to get a sandwich, you may have missed it. And, oh, wow. So the internet goes crazy over this. Everybody's like, oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe that. All the smart marks, you know, were wrong. It's like, you know. It's not the first time the internet got something wrong this election year, but you know, I'm not a political guy, but this was crazy, man. People were just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that Goldberg got the W over the Beast Incarnate. And Paul Heyman is the best at ringside. Just look at his face. Just look at his face.
Yeah. And apparently Lesnar's idea was to do this. So Lesnar knew there was money in the feud and he said, well, let's do a quick squash. Bill is hurt. We did talk about how this match can't possibly be good, and it really wasn't even a match. So it's not like I was too wrong, but I was totally, completely shocked. It was like Bill Watts level booking, which is booking where you're completely surprised, and it's logical, and it makes sense, and you wonder what's going to happen next, and there's more matches lined up. That's how you book.
Yeah. Well, once again, Survivor Series is the pay-per-view that opens up the door for more booking. And this is the booking that will get us through the slump until Royal Rumble,
right?
Everything really heats up. So in the meantime, you have these combustible elements. You set up new feuds for Raw. You set up new feuds for SmackDown, which they did very effectively, I thought. Even though the pay-per-view itself was very ho-hum, you know, very even keel. The last two matches made it worth my time. And the fact that it was setting up something new and exciting down the road, and the Raws and the SmackDowns to follow were great. And I think, but before we go into that, how did you think the overall pay-per-view went for you? And I'll give you my thoughts.
I thought it was really bad, and then it was really good the last two matches. I liked the booking, and I liked the 52-minute match. So I guess it wasn't too bad of a pay-per-view, but I definitely didn't like the pay-per-view. But, I mean, I don't know. It's historic. We'll always remember the end. It had one great match and one match that's incredibly memorable. Usually that means good pay-per-view, but I guess I'm confused these days. Sorry.
No, well, you're right. I mean, if on that merit alone, I would have to say bye instead of pass.
I did rewatch the Goldberg thing a couple of times, I'll tell you that.
You see, and that's it. Rewatchability is a huge key in how I determined that. And I watched it again for Goldberg. I watched it again for the five man at the end. And I did watch the women's match again because I simply wanted to see, the work that was involved in the women's match. And, although in the future, I'll probably fast forward through everything and just go to those last 2 minutes again, just to soak it all in.
Yeah.
You know, what was going on, because the men's match, the 5-on-5, Survivor Series, I think that should have been once again, the singular match to do it. You have an attraction, special attraction match like they did, trying to build up Survivor Series as being one of the big four. You had Undertaker come out to celebrate Undertaker last year. You have this particular match that makes it happen, both all surrounding the video games and such like that. But you just need one traditional Survivor Series match, really. You just need one, you know? And just once again, WWE, too much. It's like Hell in a Cell. You just need one Hell in a Cell match for that pay-per-view. You don't need to bastardize it and dilute it by having three damn cage matches, right?
I don't mind two Survivor Series matches. The cage thing, you're definitely right about. The lockdown, TNA lockdown with all the cage matches is stupid, but
dilutes it.
But I think Survivor Series, it's okay to have maybe two. But you know, you need to have intermingling angles a little bit better, sort of how you had it in that last match. Like that tag match made no sense. It's like they didn't have any conflict between them very much.
Mm-hmm.
It was silly.
Yeah, the following night on Raw was great too. Not only from Chris Jericho, and which is the best. If you check out Chris Jericho over and Owens in the ring together, cutting that promo. I think it was it a highlight reel? They were talking about how they were getting ready to blame each other for the loss of the 5-on-5, and all of a sudden they hug each other at the end. I think that was brilliant. I'm probably going to play that clip right here, drop it in.
Well, you know what? If that's how you really feel, maybe we don't have much of a friendship to begin with. Because every week it's the same thing. RKO, pedigree, spear. You're never there when I need your help. You're never there to have my back week after week after week. You know what, Owens? I know who's at fault for us losing at Survivor Series last night.
So do I.
Yeah, I do too.
I know
exactly it was.
Why don't you say who it is?
You want me to say it?
Say it.
You want me to say whose fault it was?
Say it.
You know, I'm letting you to say it. I'm disgusted by this. I'm finished with this conversation, and Kevin Owens, I'm finished with you.
No. I'll tell you whose fault it is. Roman Reigns! Goodness.
It's good to tease them breaking up to annoy people. I think that's clever too.
That's a whole reason why they did it, and it was wonderful. And then of course it just continues, you know, setting up more things on SmackDown, which is great. Once again, James Ellsworth still over.
Can't stand him.
Oh, I love that character. It's such a great character.
I mean, why?
You can ask me anything about it. I mean, we can like.
Why does he have to beat the world champion over and over again? This jobber. It's really silly.
Well, you know, they're just trying to extend that the whole life. But in the meantime, I'm enjoying it because James is I think he's a great character. So we can agree to disagree.
Okay. I just don't understand why, you know, he has to lose clean in a ladder match essentially to this guy. I mean, I agree.
I thought it was kind of screwy. I agree.
Just a little bit.
Speaking of WWE, we are now here with 205 Live going live, set for tomorrow. When you hear this, it'll be the 29th. 205 Live is going live on WWE Network. Couple of the stars, of course, you have Lindsay Dorado. You've got yourself the Brian Kendrick and of course TJ Perkins, among the rest of the cast of characters you've seen on Monday Night Raw. You're probably going to see Kalisto in the mix as well for this program. 205 Live is going to be a great show. Let us see if they can actually create storylines and have them bubble up into Monday Night Raw. What do you think is going to happen with this program? I think it's going to be great. And we're going to find out whether or not this can actually translate to Monday Night Raw and take notes from somebody that can write on a Tuesday night show. What do you think?
This is so easy. 205 Live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it called that?
Cruiserweights are weighed in at 205 pounds. And they're live on Tuesday nights on the network.
Okay. Let me ask you something.
Ask me.
Do you remember when they had a show called the Cruiserweight Classic?
Yes.
Just do the show!
Yes.
It's easy. You just do what you did during the summer. You can film it for 4 weeks. It's okay. It didn't matter that it wasn't live.
Yes.
And then you put that on the network and you, that's fine. It already worked. But now, no, now we want to do something different. We want to be live. Live's what's important to us. You know, they've botched, God, they're so terrible at everything. I don't really like their roster of cruiserweights now, too. It's funny because the guys that were really, really awesome didn't actually end up signing. I mean, right. You know,
Bushi, Zack Sabre didn't go. One of my, I'm trying to think of who else was awesome that I wanted to
until
have.
Until Grand Metalik can really kind of come in and be a big focal point, you know, I mean, that'll help. And I mean, Cedric, I got to look at that match and think that Kota Ibushi had a little bit to do with that match. And Kota Ibushi's a magical wrestler. He's one of the three or four best wrestlers in the whole world.
Yes.
And I think that's maybe what happened. And you know, if you recorded the show for a whole month's worth of shows on one night, you could probably fly him in. And then he would be on all the time. And you can pretend he would sign with the WWE, which is something he won't do because he's awesome.
Right. I'm taking a little bit more pragmatic view on 205 Live. I think the show is going to be good. I hope that they do capture what made the Cruiserweight Classic special. A lot of that has to do with the storytelling, the packages that they run to give the talent some time. But I tell you, one of the reasons why WWE's doing this is because they're just cutting corners in production. They're already set up for SmackDown. We all know that. We should all know that. They're cutting corners. They're doing so much to create content. You have all these people. The venue's already paid for. The cameras are already there. Let's go ahead and make a show out of it. But having said that.
All right.
Right. Something had to go, and it appears that the Superstars show is gone. So they're replacing WWE Superstars on the network with 205 Live. 205 Live then, I guess, in other syndicated markets would also have the opportunity to be pre-recorded and packaged to those countries that don't get the WWE network, or maybe an opportunity to have this. Now, secondary programming. I don't even know if Superstars is actually being shown on WGN.
I don't know about that. I don't get WGN, but I don't know what you do with a show like that anymore. I mean, it's silly to even have it. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes no sense to me.
Well, there you have it. Craziness is happening there with the WWE. Let's talk about this. Speaking of WWE, let's put a button on it. Let's talk about this. TLC is coming up this Sunday.
Can't believe that.
Ridiculous. I know, man. How time flies. TLC is coming up. We do have some
Time is not flying by. They're just doing a pay-per-view every week almost. I mean, it's 2 weeks and Well, what's the main event? So it's Davey Boy and Owen against Sean and Diesel.
No, I'll tell you who it is.
Triple belt match, right?
TLC pay-per-view, tables, ladders, and chairs. Wicked Witch Eyes, Becky Lynch, Wicked Witch.
Who's the witch?
I'm trying to
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss, the Wicked Witch of the WWE, is eyeing Becky Lynch's title. My girl, Becky Lynch. So. That is one of the announces for this Sunday at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Intercontinental Championship will be reaching new heights.
I didn't get a chance to say how uninterested I am in that match because Alexa Bliss is poor.
Aww. I think she's good.
Good at what? But dressing like a whore?
Ouch. Hey now. That's why he's a heel, folks. That's why he's a heel. I do like Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is my new favorite gal on the rosters right now.
She about to join the whole train too. She needs to stop with all that.
Oh, come on now. So, you know what I feel like? I feel like you're Jesse the Body Ventura and I am Gorilla Monsoon.
If only that were the case.
Will you stop?
Will you stop?
You'd say that, man. It's, so we have the two. We also have the Battle of the Ho-Hums. We have the Intercontinental Showdown.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
You like that?
Yeah.
It is The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. Is there any reason why we should think that The Miz will drop the title to Dolph Ziggler? Now, the money is on Dolph Ziggler actually regaining the championship, which will be interesting, playing a little hot potato with the championship, and then having Miz maybe go off into more of the title picture after this. What are your thoughts on this particular match?
Not interested in Dolph Ziggler. Sorry. And they had a great match. 2 months ago, maybe? Was that two months ago? They had a great match, and I did like it. And you know, I'm all for having great matches again. But, I mean, it'll probably be good. But, I mean, you know,
this is going to be a ladder match.
The dynamic's different. Oh, yeah. But the dynamic's a little bit different, too, because the further along you go, the harder it is to have. You know, okay, like, for example, Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler, everybody's like, oh, my God, it was one of the greatest things I ever saw. Oh, my God, it's from, oh, and then he pile drove him, right? Nobody remembers it. Andy Kaufman did, like, several main events against Lawler. And every time they did it, the crowd would dissipate because it's hard, no matter how hot you got your angle or your heel or whatever it is, to keep the momentum going. And I think they've lost some momentum. Because that one match was so good and they'll have to live up to it. So I'm expecting, like you're saying, a 3-star match here. I don't think he should take the belt off the Miz. I do think the Miz against AJ is a good match, but I'm fearful that they're grooming him to win the belt again. And, you know, if you push Miz that hard, now you've gone all the way with him and he stops, he will only be able to retrogress.
Yeah, maybe his run was briefly interrupted for Survivor Series, right?
Correct.
He has a title back again. So maybe he goes on and then maybe Miz will have yet another, you know, another moment to shine big during WrestleMania. I believe, you know, he's worth it and he's got a lot of stock with Maryse. A newly revitalized character. Maurice doing a lot of heelish things on the Total Divas TV show on E! So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, didn't she vote for Jill Stein on the Total Divas show?
I don't know.
Yeah, I heard that.
I don't know. Yeah. Nikki and Carmella scheduled for a no disqualification match. You know, they've been going at it ever since the draft. So we shall see what happens here. It looks to me like, depending on, now we haven't seen SmackDown, the go home show before TLC, but, you know, I have a feeling that Nikki's maybe left standing on this Tuesday show. Therefore, Carmella will go over on the pay-per-view.
Hey, I couldn't be more excited for a pay-per-view match than this.
Now what
they could do, and I'm just throwing out old ideas because I'm a historian, as you suggest. Mm-hmm. I would do the old Terry Funk plastic bag angle. I would have Carmella come out and try to murder Nikki with a plastic bag via asphyxiation.
Yeah, well, they fired Daniel Bryan for choking, the guy with the belt. You know,
no, what you do is you put a plastic bag.
Roberts, over. Justin Roberts.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So I'm sure this is going to go over great.
I think there were a couple of phone calls when they did that.
Just a few.
Back in 89, yeah.
Last two matches, chairs match between Baron Corbin and Kalisto. You know that Kalisto is on the list of Stephanie McMahon, not Jericho, but the list, because he ended up interfering in the cruiserweight match with Kalisto and the Brian Kendrick. On Survivor Series. So,
what if Stephanie did that to Kalisto with the plastic bag? Actually, now I would almost expect to see that at some point.
If you're listening to this show for our picks, I'm sorry, we have none for you.
Kalisto's doing what? He's fighting who?
Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah, that'll be really good. I'm going to go with Baron Corbin winning in a squash.
Yeah, well, he's going to have the chairs. This is going to be your chairs match.
Oh, is this a chairs match?
It's a chairs match.
Oh,
yes.
Good. You know what? The pay-per-view sounds really bad so far.
Yeah. Well, I have this one for you.
Okay.
Okay. Who will challenge Slater and Rhino for the WWE SmackDown tag team titles? Will it be American Alpha or will it be Orton and Wyatt?
Well,
Bray Wyatt?
I think I know the answer to that because it's not so much I'm so smart or that I have clairvoyance. It's that I figure out what the best thing for them to do is, and then I figure the opposite will happen. And the worst thing to do, because I saw American Alpha get pinned real quick in that tag match, don't think I wasn't watching. The worst thing to do is to have American Alpha lose again on pay-per-view clean, so that's exactly what they'll happen. They'll have that happen, and they'll lose clean, and they'll go, we should have won, and they'll look like fools, and they'll never get over.
It doesn't look good for American Alpha, my friends.
Stupid. This is a real dumb one. This one I think is really dumb. I'm really impressed with how dumb this one is.
Well, the good news is that.
Oh, John, do you want these lamps? I'm getting rid of them soon. I'm serious. Do you want these lamps?
I'm okay.
Yeah, we're buying some new furniture, and I'm getting rid of the lamps.
Oh, you did? I just bought some new furniture.
Oh, so. Good. Well, maybe we can compare notes.
Exactly. Don't forget, TLC is going to be happening this Sunday live on WWE Network. Don't forget, you can subscribe at ProWrestlingCast.com.
There's no main event to the. Or is that the main event? Baron Corbin against Kofi?
That is what I have so far.
What about AJ Styles against Dean Ambrose? Aren't they
fighting? Sure there will be an AJ Styles Dean Ambrose match, and we're going to have our favorite mascot James Ellsworth in there as well.
Oh God, I'm not going to watch the pay per view. I'm telling you right now, I'm not watching it. I'm not going to watch it.
We do have a.
So don't ask me to review it.
I was going to mention the fact that Sasha Banks' Instagram got hacked and Darren Young is still on the road with Bob Backlund, just in case anyone cared.
What happened to Sasha's Instagram?
Oh, it just got hacked.
And did they write a bunch of pro Jill Stein stuff on there or something?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what they had on there, but so and guys and gals maybe too, just so you know, I don't think any pictures were released from her phone, just in case anybody's interested.
Is somebody really that crazy to think that?
I don't know. I will say this. WWE Network debuted Storytime on the network.
Hold on a second. Are you saying that wrestling fans are so weird and perverted that they think Sasha Banks like taking naked pictures of herself all day on her phone?
I don't know.
Okay, you know what? You're probably right.
Seth Rollins, I mean, you know.
Ugh, God, Al John.
I didn't bring that up.
Don't bring that up again.
Okay.
Stupid dead spin.
I thought that Storytime on WWE Network was actually great, and I thought it was much, much better than Camp WWE.
Yeah, that show sucked.
Yeah, that was just horrible. So,
it sucked.
Look, there's nothing better than wrestling legends talking about their stories and times being on the road and actually talking about stuff like tickle bitties, like Ric Flair said, like in the first 5 minutes of the show, and then talk about all the waitresses or all the flight attendants that he served on board his jet flying limousine riding, you know, tour that he did. Which is great.
Well,
by the way.
I think they should do
Rick House Brown animated.
I thought the show was pretty good, actually. It wasn't too bad.
No.
It's
got potential for sure.
I
funnier than Holy Foley.
If you went on my Twitter, you could see the story that I want them to animate. It involves Jimmy Valiant, but I honestly just heard this story from someone I know on Twitter, and I can't actually share the story. I'm being so serious.
Your tease.
Do you have your phone near you? I can text it to you.
You can text it to me if you'd like.
Okay. Let's see. Can you say something while I write this?
So, yes. We are dealing now with yet more TNA news. TNA. As we move on to what's going on with TNA, I have to say, compelling television. as of late. I've said this every week. You know, they've been on pop. TNA is having a great resurgence, doing the best with what they got, in terms of characters. Matt Hardy had, had his brain injury, got his amnesia, and then once again got struck by lightning.
Yes.
Being struck by the seven deities, if you will.
That was
Jeff Hardy doing great work on the mic, beseeching the deities to bring back his broken brother.
Yes.
Matt Hardy. Doing great, of course, great mic work. Jeff Hardy, amazing mic work in the ring. This, I think, really, people really deserve to give TNA a chance and check out the Hardy Show because it's really good.
Or at the very least, just follow what the Hardys are doing on YouTube. You know, at least give that a chance. Al John, did you get the text? It looks like you're reading it there, buddy. See what I mean? You're on mute, by the way. See what I mean? You can't really,
You can't talk about it.
Yeah, can't talk about it. See, I figured that you would have a way to say it.
Okay.
So, be careful.
Rock and Roll Express walked in on a Cleveland steamer on a glass table.
Jimmy Valiant was under the table.
Was watching from the glass table.
Right.
The glass table.
I mean, what, the more we find out, you know, we talked about the tattoo. We talked about it, like, what is wrong with him?
He's hardcore, baby.
Yeah, I think he really is from the street. I think he did make friends with people in jail. I really think all that's true.
Well, you know, there's nothing like living the gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
You create this character, and all of a sudden, you are that person. Jake the Snake did it. Ric Flair did it. Hulk Hogan did it.
I think Jimmy's worse than the character. Hey, so there's my idea. Have them animate that for the new show.
Yeah, that would be amazing if they did. And by the way, I have to say, fascinating talk is Jericho with Jesse the Body Ventura. Fascinating. Always fascinating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's all pro weed now. Jesse, yeah, crazy. Jesse had a good podcast for a while and he stopped doing it, but Jesse's, I like Jesse's politics. They fall a lot in line with my own. Not that I'm all pro weed, you know, I don't do that.
But, well, he is an independent candidate, after all.
Well, you know, he's a free thinker, and he loves America too. And then, you know, but he has his own personal reasons for supporting marijuana legalization to deal with his family. So that's you know, I can understand where he's coming from. But that is a good podcast with Jericho. And again, the Conan podcast is Al John, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
I have to say this damn Ric Flair. Okay. So I go to my phone and I go, okay, time to watch Ric Flair's, time to listen to Ric Flair's podcast. So it says, this is 2 weeks ago. It says Ric Flair's show with Shawn Michaels. And I thought, well, that's, you know, he's interviewed him before. And it said, Rick had food poisoning and we're putting up a best of edition. And I thought, lame, right?
Well, they already did a substitution show already talking about Ric Flair's career.
No, then a week later, I'm like, it says Ric Flair in 1991. I'm like, great. It's not even him. And they say what? He had to film a commercial. I mean, is he gone? He gone again? I haven't heard him on his own show in a long time.
This does not bode well.
This is so Ric Flair of him. Now, that being said, I'm going to somehow tie this into TNA.
Just bring back Kevin Sullivan. He'll be okay.
Sullivan. Al John, the Buddha Dean himself knows Sullivan is the king of the Bob Wyatt.
There you go, man.
I know that word for word. Something to wrestle with. Conrad. Now, Conrad's smart. He knew Rick would flake out on him. He started another podcast with Bruce Pritchard. Yeah. Something to wrestle with. And I hate Bruce Pritchard.
Right.
But this show is great. And his two-part thing on TNA, you got to listen to some of this stuff. Now, I don't know what to believe with the guy, but it's pretty staggering, some of the stories. Like, you know, like the Hall of Fame, where they initiated Sting into the Hall of Fame, their first Hall of Fame member.
Yes.
He's like, okay, we're going to do a Hall of Fame with Sting. Okay, sell tickets for it. And Bruce is like, okay. So they get around to this. Like, so what is this? He goes, oh, it's a Hall of Fame. We're inducting Sting. And he's like, right, but what what are we doing? She's like, oh, I'm going to get him a watch. And then Conrad points, is like, that's all she knew. That's all. Like, well, what do you mean? And then they had a chicken dinner at the Marriott or something to do it. And then they were going to have the wrestlers pay for their dinners. Wait, one more. This one more. Conrad pointed out, he said, I just want to tell you something. He's like, I'm a watch collector. I watched when Kurt Angle got into the Hall of Fame. I guess it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He said, that was a used Rolex. He said, I know Rolexes. I know the boxes they're sold in. I know years. He said, they gave him a used Rolex for that show. I know.
Oh, Lord.
So check out there's a plug for Conrad, something to wrestle with the annoying Bruce Prichard, who Conrad berates into giving information.
Yeah. Yeah, I wondered how that podcast was going to turn out, but much like you, I have tried to avoid Bruce Prichard, even though I had talked about him in a positive light. I've just become a little bit more astute.
Well, since then. You have to read between the lies, I think, with Bruce, and know that he's kind of like a political party member. He's always going to toe the party line of WWE. And defend all the things that have done. And, he's very close. He's been very close to the evil one for a long period of time, Vince McMahon. So you have to, you know, hear at least what he has to say. Mm-hmm. The show's really good though.
Well, it is. Speaking of which, Anthem Sports officially announced a settlement with Billy Corgan, and Corgan has made comments in this regard to the ownership situation with TNA and Impact Ventures. Says this is a press release. Anthem Sports and Entertainment and William Corgan announced settlement today, November 28th of 2016, as we record this today. Anthem Sports Entertainment Corporation and Billy Corgan announced today they have completed an agreement to resolve Mr. Corgan's litigation against Impact Ventures, the parent company of TNA Impact Wrestling. Anthem has acquired Mr. Corgan's loan to Impact Ventures on an undisclosed term, and Mr. Corgan has dismissed his proceedings against Impact Ventures and TNA Impact Wrestling. So there's more. Anthem Sports and Entertainment Corporation is a global sports media company that operates Fight Network, Impact Wrestling's exclusive broadcaster in Canada, as well as the exclusive worldwide digital streaming partner for TNA, all TNA programming. It is also an equity stakeholder of Impact Ventures. Anthem Executive Vice President Ed Nordholm stated, quote, we are pleased to conclude these arrangements with Mr. Corgan. The events leading to litigation were unfortunate, but also reflected all parties' desire in good faith to support the company. The arrangements we've made with Mr. Corgan respect all parties' gratitude for his contributions to Impact Wrestling, both creatively and financially. You know, now close this particular chapter and look forward to making Impact Wrestling a leader in professional wrestling world. Quote, and this is Billy. He now quotes, I'm pleased that an agreement is now in place that allows wrestling operations to continue, said Corgan, Impact's former president.
Former.
Quote, for my interest from the start was to provide support, be it material or creative, to such a great roster and crew. And as I plan on continuing the business side of pro wrestling, I look forward to seeing where Anthem's leadership takes the company in 2017 and wish them the best, end quote.
Well, so, I don't know if he got his money or not. He wanted $2.7 million, but they wanted to give him $1.9 million. I think what Corgan's done is really interesting, because what he did is he outed them for a lot of the, you know, TNA was so big on denial. We're not dropped from Spike TV, you know, which they never recovered from that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we never dropped from Spike TV. We got a good deal with Pop TV. We just signed Bram. Oh, AJ's a jerk. He didn't want to do this and that. Well, Corgan made it so that the court showed people who they are, that they owe American Express money, that they owe the state of Tennessee money, that they owe Manic money, and you know what I mean? Everybody is owed money. Frankie Kazarian's a jerk, but maybe he's not. You know, all of these things, you know, there's something wrong with that company.
Yeah, well, it starts from the top.
It starts from the top. It actually starts above the top, because I think I figured it out from listening to the Pritchard Show. I think what it is the Carters do things in a scummy Texas business person way, but they do it in a wrestling setting, and you're actually not used to seeing that. You know, so when a guy like Jesse Sorensen is injured, you're like, man, your fault. You fell wrong. You know, that's what a business does. Mm-hmm. Wrestling companies are actually much nicer than businesses. It's a scummy business, but it's not. It's a family kind of setting in a lot of ways, as bad as we talk about them. You want to talk about these, some of these companies out there, you know, they really are the impetus of evil in a sense. And that's what you see with TNA. You see that corporate, influence from her parents.
Right.
And she, I've met her several times. She is the sweetest person. She really is. But this is what goes on.
Well, you know, personal life and business practices are two separate things, folks. So.
Right.
You know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, we can only hope that the wrestlers will continue to be paid because that is how they take care of their families, themselves, and their bodies. You know, and all the people that need to get paid because it's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Everybody's gotta put food on the table, and it's unfair that people are living high on the hog while others are trying to work and put in an honest day's work and not getting paid for it.
Right. Right? And that ain't cool, man.
That ain't cool. Never cool.
Ain't cool at all.
We're getting ready to wrap up this program, Stephen. Will Ospreay and Ricochet in independent wrestling news. Booked again. Pentagon Dark on who has helped him with his character. This is an interesting article that was posted in Wrestling Inc. Lucha Underground star. Pentagon Dark recently talked to the Miami Herald. They said working in Lucha Underground has been a great opportunity and noted that he is ready to go after Sexy Star, who had recently won the championship. He also noted that Vampiro had a huge hand in his character, which, by the way, Vampiro has mentioned several times on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast about Pentagon, which is cool because I actually like Pentagon. So
yeah, well, Vampiro is a very creative person. Vampiro had a tremendous amount of success as a babyface in Mexico, and Vampiro has had a tremendous amount of success cultivating people and wrestlers and characters on the Lucha Underground show. He's very talented. He gets a bad rap, but he is a good guy. He is a guardian angel. He does some really cool stuff. He does some really wacky stuff too. He's a punk rock guy. He's a lot of weird stuff. He does, you know, seances or something. He's got a couple of problems, you know.
A very interesting figure in the world of professional wrestling. Speaking of interesting characters, last but not least, Ricochet and Will Ospreay, two of our favorite wrestlers in this past year. And Steven, they're getting ready to do something else. December 17th, according to this website, former WWE Hornswoggle will also be advertised for the event. It is Over the Top Wrestling. They're doing something interesting there. It's a Irish wrestling promotion, and Ospreay versus Ricochet 2 is going to be taking place there. December
2? You mean 52?
Or 52. 52.
Yeah, what are you talking about? They wrestle every week.
52.
Yeah. And if you know, I'd like to give a plug to Rev Pro doing Chris Hero versus one of my favorite wrestlers, Shibata. And
yes.
He is their British Commonwealth welterweight Duchess of Queensbury champion. And he defeated Chris Hero, one of my favorite independent wrestlers in the States. And what I thought was a wonderful match, not as violent as usual Shibata match, but I had a good time watching it. And I'm a big Chris Hero fan. And I actually now am significantly smaller and skinnier than Chris Hero. He has gained weight while I have lost weight. It's sad. But he can still do the kip up better than Shawn Michaels. And Shibata is still open about his violence.
Very good. We will now bring you to the promo of the week.
Okay. I thought you were going to run down the complete card with star ratings. James Brown's on this card, right? James Brown's on this card, right? No, yes, he is. He's on the card. He's in the cat wrestles somebody, and James Brown, he would always pretend like James Brown's going to come out, and he actually comes out.
Oh, Lord.
You don't remember that? Oh, wow, John.
Okay, so, okay, here's the card. WCW Uncensored 2000. Okay, live.
I'll give the star rating.
Broadcasting live from the American Airlines Arena on the WWE Network. Tony Schiavone, Mike Tenay, Mark Madden calling the action ringside.
They were terrible.
Okay. WCW Cruiserweight Championship match on the line. The Artist with Paisley.
Right.
Versus Psychosis with Juventude.
It kind of sucked for a psychosis match, and that pissed me off because that was her only shot. So I give it like 1.5 stars, maybe 2, if I'm being polite. The artist wasn't really a good wrestler. Prince Iaukea, too, really.
Prince Iaukea was good. Let's see here. What was it? The artist sneaks up on psychosis, becomes distracted. The artist sneaks up on him from a front pin.
See, the baby face is a fool. The baby face is a fool. The cruiserweight baby face is a fool and can't win the belt. Same shit. Same
and stuff. Retains at 7:22.
Let's say 1.5 stars.
Okay. The Demon versus Screaming Norman Smiley versus XS, which is Lenny Lane and Lodi.
Yeah, that wasn't a really great match either. The Demon wasn't a particularly good worker. Norman Smiley was, and XS was, Lenny Lane was funny when he feuded with Chris Jericho because Chris Jericho accused him of stealing Loverboy tape from his bag.
Yeah, which was great. So anyway, big wiggle happens. Lane takes the Demon out of the ring. Norman Smiley, makes, Lodi, tap out to the crossface chicken wing, his favorite maneuver, at 3:42.
Whatever. 1 star, maybe 0.5 star. Bad match.
We have here, backstage segment. Booker T, Kidman, and Torrie Wilson are backstage talking. David Flair, Crowbar, and Daphne are backstage creeping.
Total garbage.
Bam Bam Bigelow versus the Wall.
Bam Bam gave up by the time he got to WCW. Bam Bam was one of the greatest big men wrestlers. Very agile, very fluid, great stuff in Japan. ECW stuff was pretty solid for ECW, especially.
Phoning it in.
I think he put over the Wall, who they were trying to push. You know, he did a main event with Hogan once, which was ludicrous.
Yeah,
he was just angle to really, set it up. Just weird guy. I forget who he is. He became someone later.
Well, he was part of the Misfits in Action later.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah.
Am I right?
I don't think so. I hope not. Yeah, maybe so.
Something. So anyway, the Wall. Let's see. So whatever.
Yeah, Lieutenant T. Wall. Get it?
A Wall. He was A Wall. That's right.
Get it?
Remember?
Yeah. Get it?
So Wall choke slams Bigelow through a table. Bell rings at 3:36.
Suck.
Referee's decision. Cannot. WCW Hardcore Championship match, and this is my favorite. Here, 3 Count versus Brian Knobbs.
Yeah, really good match. Really good booking. 4 stars. No, it was terrible. Did Knobbs win?
Let's see here. We have a new hardcore champion. Knobbs crushes Moore under a garbage can.
Right.
And Knobbs is the hardcore champion at 7 minutes.
That might have been one of the better matches, honestly.
Honestly, it really is.
Because 3 Count could fly around a little bit, and Knobbs was, you know.
Well, I mean, you look at 3 Count. Look at the people that came out of 3 Count.
You had
Evan Courageous, which was okay. Shannon Moore, for sure. Great wrestler.
Yeah, Hardy Boys guy.
Then you had the man, Shane Helms. Yeah, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, folks.
It was pretty good for that period of time. Knobbs wins a title, and then Hogan has a Yappapaya match. So who do you think's in control? Who do you think's in control of this pay-per-view? Who's in control of the pay-per-view is my question.
Hey, look. Backstage, Mean Gene is interviewing Harlem Heat 2000, Stevie Ray, Booker T, and get this. Do you remember? Or no, Booker T's not there. It was Stevie Ray along with Big T.
Ahmed Johnson. Fat Ahmed Johnson. He weighed 190 pounds more than normal.
You're right.
He was huge and fat.
Oh, yeah.
And terrible in the ring. He was terrible.
Right. Booker T, formerly T, who's just now Booker because he lost his T.
He lost the letter T in a Sesame Street match.
In a Sesame Street match, yeah.
Yeah, he did. T was a letter and he lost it.
And Kidman with Torrie Wilson, which was great.
Oh, boy.
They were married at the time or something.
I think they were doing drugs around this time or something. I don't know if this happened. It's allegedly. But they looked weird. Like they had acne and stuff.
Allegedly. Harlem Heat.
What's happening?
Harlem Heat 2000 with Jay Biggs and Cash.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, that was some of the Master P holdovers, I think.
Yes.
Remember when they brought his dudes around and he got them all contract? Well, who lost that negotiating period of time with?
Well, they had the old Cash Money Records thing
going on. Oh, man alive.
Was it Cash Money Records? That was, wasn't it?
Hey, I don't remember. He made a lot of money.
He made a lot of money, ran with it. Vampiro versus Fit Finlay And then we had here. This is great that we're
concussion.
It's great that we're recapping an old people
program. Oh, it's great.
Let's see. Mishinoku Driver is done. 8:48 happens. I think. What was the event?
They were
Vampiro finishes.
They were half-heartedly pushing Vampiro in the wall.
The Mamalukes with Disco Inferno versus the Harris Brothers, not fighting for the TNA championship, but for the WCW Tag Team Championship.
You know, at that point, that match comes on the card, and you're just like, hey, geez.
Is this already over?
I got a Harris Brothers match to watch now? Like, yeah, this boy, is... man, I barely got through the Knobs one, and you're like, boy, oh boy.
I can't believe it. Now, well, here's an interesting one. Bull Rope match versus Terry Funk and Dustin Rhodes.
It really wasn't very good. It wasn't a good match. Terry was not able to use his fires and barbed wires and things that makes him so much fun. Mm-hmm.
Lumberjack match, Sting versus Lex Luger with Elizabeth.
More garbage. You know, that was a main event in 92. So, like, what happened?
Yeah. At 7:04, Scorpion Death Drop finishes at 7:04 there, so Sting beats up on the Lex Express. WCW Championship match. Don't you like retro wrestling reviews? Sid Vicious versus Jeff Jarrett.
It might have been the best match on the card. It was, you know, Sid is not quite as bad as people remember him. His punches are terrible, but he knew how to work the crowd. He knew how to cut a promo occasionally. And, you know, Jared was just the worst heel. I just thought he was so bland and terrible and vanilla.
Well, Sid Vicious playing the, you know, well, Jeff was never really exciting for me, but Sid Vicious to me was turning a corner. The belt was on him and he was the guy and, he was actually doing a pretty decent run, if I can remember correctly, of being the face of WCW for a little while before things started going to crap.
He had to be in that position and he did about as good as, I mean, Sid Vicious main eventing in a year like 98 to 99 where wrestling is just huge. You know, it was pretty shocking that they had gotten to that point. they had really fallen off the map. I mean, look at them 2 years before, you know, I don't know what to say.
All right. Big Papa Pump gets in his guitar too. Gets a little El Cabong on him, but, Hogan with a big boot, leg drop to Jarrett, put Sid over the top for the three count at 7:36.
Yeah, I think they did something where Hogan and Sid were boyfriends. They literally did this stuff for like a month because Sullivan was booking and then they got rid of him and then put, Bischoff with, Russo. That was happening in April. That happens a month later, or less than that.
Hogan already laid out at the hands of Scott Steiner. Ric Flair shows up with a generic strap. It's not a Yavapai strap. It was a crappy strap.
He should have had a Yavapai strap because a Yavapai strap is more powerful.
So this was basically...
it's some Florida thing.
It's a Indian strap match is what it's supposed to be.
No, it's a Yavapai strap match. It's a Yavapai, bro.
So here we go. Let's see.
And you'll hear it explained.
Hogan with a big boot touches three corners, drops a leg, hits the fourth turnbuckle, and ends it at 14:28.
So he not only pins him, but hits all four corners because he's a complete and utter asshole in control. That is what Hulk Hogan is. I will never stop. Ric Flair. And
we leave you now with this, the biggest buildup to this promo from the immortal Hulk Hogan.
How did the match, and let me say one more thing. 1 year earlier, they had done a 1.1 buy rate. Hogan versus Flair over the title. I think it was a cage match. 1 year later, they do like a .1, like it literally dropped 10 times. Like if you divided a number by 10, that's the buy rate. I mean, can you believe that? That's how awful they were in 99 to 2000.
It was crazy, crazy times for sure. Enjoy the immortal words of Hulk Hogan as he challenges Ric Flair for the aforementioned Yavapai strap match. And I tell you, you can find me at Jedi Masketeer and at Al John Rocks on Twitter. Steven, where can people tweet you?
At Dr. Deathmark, and actually my new Twitter name is Sugar Hair.
Okay, check that out, if you will. Thank you so much. Steven, any closing words before we put this baby to bed?
I'm really excited that you've agreed to be involved in the new Tape Cassettes album.
Yes, anytime. Anytime. You tell me what to do, and I'm
going to play. Can you play guitar on it?
You tell me what you want me to play, and I'm there, man.
Let me ask you one question to see if you can do this.
Okay.
What's the best Bathory album?
You see, no, I can't do that. No, but I can. I'll look that up if you'd like.
All right. Is it Hammerheart?
You're asking the wrong person. I told you.
Let me ask you this. Do you like the opening riff to For All Those Who Died?
You're talking over my head, man.
All right. Download the song Aquaman Thorn.
Okay.
And then
send me a link, if you will.
All right. If you really want that to happen. I don't think you ever heard anything like it.
You're getting all these metal references in here. I'm just like, hey, look, I love metal, but hey, look, man, you're going deep.
It's a whole nother thing. You know, the Scandinavian thing. It's weird stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean,
there were some deaths. There was some deaths.
I don't burn churches.
The guy from Bathory never did that.
Okay, good.
But he would heavily influence every band that ever burned a church, and that is true.
Okay.
I do not agree with church burning. I'm a good Catholic.
Just so you know, I knew where you're going with that, and I am just like, it's just not me. So enjoy the rock and roll podcast. Enjoy the talk about retro wrestling. Go back and watch WCW 2000 for a laugh if you'd like, Uncensored 2000, or what the hell ever that was.
It was bad. That's a pretty bad.
It was uncensored, right? It was uncensored.
A bad card, dude.
Okay. This is it for this show. Thank you. Don't forget to tuck your head. Nick Bockwinkle for life.
Diamond Dave for life.
All right. Diamond Dave until his last breath.
He's very healthy. He's fine. He's very healthy.
Enjoy the promo of the week. We'll see you next time.
Wrestling Cast promo of the week.
After the sacrifice in Sacramento, brother, I realized how far we've taken this thing, brother. As I was in that slow rolling coffin on the way to the emergency room, as I waited, free faded breath coming out of Jimmy Hart's body that I thought might be his last, I glazed down into his eyes, Ric Flair. Yes, Jimmy Hart was muttering, was stammering, trying to get the words out. I finally understood one word coming out of his mouth. Ric Flair. The steel cage wasn't the answer, brother, to our problems. The thousands of Hulkamaniacs that I had to strap back to keep off your back, Jack, wasn't the answer to the problems. But when I heard Jimmy Hart on the way to the emergency room in that slow rolling coffin muttered the words, Yappapai, brother, I knew the answer to the problem, Ric Flair. The Yappapai Indian strap match, Jack. That's what Jimmy Hart was calling for, brother. And now that I know, with the powers to be watching my back, I can box you in contractually. I can corner you in, brother. And if we are bonded together with the leather, man, if we are bonded together with no one in our way, as I strap that flesh, as your flesh bubbles and burns over your whole body, you will understand, my man, what the Yappapai mean by the Indian strap match flare. I'm calling your bluff, man. I'm the greatest wrestler of all times. And when I strap my wrist to yours, brother, the transformation, as my eyes roll in the back of my head, as the smoke comes out of my nose, the leather will be your last lifeline to the professional wrestling world, brother.
finish your life and in the Yappa Pie Indian strap match, Ric Flair. I will prove that you will bow down to me for an eternity, brother. First things first, I want to let Dr. Proper know, I want to let Dr. Unger know, and Dr. Hughes know that the release forms have been signed. You guys are not responsible for the last couple fractures in the forearm, brother. The main priority in the Yappa Pie Indian strap match is to have flexibility on the wrist that you're strapped to your opponent with, brother. Because in the Yappa Pie Indian strap match, when you're in the four corners of the battle zone, the main priority is to get the body in the proper position for the strapation dudes. When I get Ric Flair right where I want him, when I get him out of wind, sucking air, sweating from head to toe, I will call to the strap master Jimmy Hart on ringside. And I will say, Jimmy Hart at ringside, give me Yappa Pie Indian punishment. Strap number one. As I strap your body, Ric Flair, as you scream to the heavens for mercy, as I see your skin start to bubble off your body, you will drop to your knees and you will say, please, Mr. Hogan, please, I can't take it anymore. Please, I'm sorry I crossed the line. And as I hear you beg for mercy, Ric Flair, that's when I'll call to the strap master, Jimmy Hart, for Yappa Pie Indian strappage number two. That's when the heavier belt will come out. That's when I will strap your skin and the flesh will bubble. That's when the flesh will start to peel from your hide. And as I see the raw pink meat on your back, brother, I'm gonna take it to another level. I will transform from Hulk to Hollywood. I will double strap you with both fists and you will scream to the heavens, please, Hollywood, don't hurt me anymore, and I will never stop.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.